You ever have like a moment? I guess I don't know what you call that period of sleep where you're like in between, where you're still easily woken up, but when you do, it scares you a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Like you don't realize you're asleep yet, but when you do, it's like, oh. That happened to me last night. Like, I kept swearing I heard something in our house.
I thought you were just going to end with I kept swearing. And like, the idea in my mind was Thomas is a sleep swearer. Like, you curse in your sleep or something.
That'd be
like,
funny.
That's how Maddie knows you're almost asleep, is yeah. You just have like a Tourette's fever.
No, but I don't know what happened last night. I just kept like, I was like wide awake a couple times and just like, is the door about to fly open? Is what's about to happen right now? And I had no evidence for it at all.
People that don't know you, like people that listen to this show who've never actually hung out with you, don't realize like the difference in your face when your eyes are closed and when your eyes are really open is a huge difference, because your eyes are like the size of dinner plates.
I never knew that about myself until Tom told me Tom didn't tell me. I heard it from, I think, you when I was like 17. That he thought I looked like Snuffleupagus.
those huge eyelashes and those gigantic eyes, Mr. Snuffleupagus from the.
I've never thought that.
Yeah,
but now I'm like,
it was like, oh, Thomas, that's the kid that looks like Snuffy.
Occasionally, you see a person who looks just like a puppet. Apparently, I'm a giant elephant. Whatever Snuffy is.
I feel like that could be like a life principle. Occasionally you see a person that looks just like a Muppet. And that, did you say puppet or Muppet?
I said puppet.
But I refined
it. Is Snuffy a Muppet?
I think technically, yes. And in that he was a creation of Jim Henson.
Is Sesame Street?
Yeah. All of those.
Jim Henson?
Well, Jim Henson worked with the Sesame Street company to make all those Muppets.
Did not know that.
Yeah,
because the other day I was listening, like a guilty pleasure of mine, I listened to Sports Talk in Knoxville, yeah. Like sports radio. It's terrible. I've talked about that on here before, I think last week. It's terrible, but it's amazing. Especially when Tennessee is on the brink of possibly firing their coach.
Oof.
It's amazing right now. You're just like, where did you come up with that?
Just endless drama. And
yeah. And some of the takes are just fantastic. But one of them, like recently they did like a poll, like rate your top five Muppets. Or no, it was your top five Sesame Street characters.
Okay.
And they put Kermit the Frog in there. And I was like, that doesn't seem right.
I feel like
couldn't
Kermit's
tell.
Been on Sesame Street.
Well, I didn't know. I don't know if that's true. And like, two of the people who were on the show, I could tell they like kind of hesitated. Because he made him number one. And I was like, is that? Because this is like seconds after I watched Muppet Christmas Carol.
I don't think you could make Kermit your favorite Sesame Street character. I mean, I think he's probably cameoed on Sesame Street. But... yeah, so if
who hasn't? I mean, have you not been on Sesame Street yet?
That? No. Do you remember that there's the when Norah Jones had the song Don't Know Why, and So she sang I Don't Know Why Didn't Come, but there's just a foam letter Y that's beside her at the piano, and he's just like, Norah, I'm here, you don't have to sing it anymore. And she's like, oh, hey, Y. It's just a great segment.
That's amazing.
So yeah, but people that don't actually, because there are people theoretically that listen to this show who don't know us like in person.
Really? I just picture my mom listening to our show and
there's
being
no
like,
"No way, Becky,
you do it, buddy. You got it. You got it.
Good job, Thomas."
Good job.
But yeah, I mean, so if you're in that state of from sleepiness to wakefulness, although, so my son like sleep talks a lot.
Really?
Yeah, and I think he does a little bit of sleepwalking too. But we found out the other day it's because of his airways. That's a thing. Like, if you have restricted airways, you will sleep talk more than other people.
Really?
Also, I have always been a sleep talker. Like,
I'll never forget the first time I heard you sleep talk.
Everybody that's ever lived with me has talked about it.
I'll never forget the moment. I was like a sophomore in high school.
Was this like a spring retreat? Like,
yes,
a high school Bible study retreat?
At the Sharps Lake House. And you shot up out of bed and you said, right now, shove your head under this bed right now. And I was like, what? And then you laid right back down to sleep. I was like, I think he's sleep talking, but what? He's my pastor, so I think I'm supposed to listen to him.
One time I was in college, and my mom was on a business trip, and she had to stay at my apartment. And my roommate Charlie was gone, and we lived in a room where there was like, it was like two twin beds. So, you know, mom was in one of the beds. She said she was about to fall asleep, and I had already fallen asleep. And then she said, just all of a sudden, I sat bolt upright, faced the wall that my bed was up against, and said, I gotta find Potsy. And she was like, what? And I was like, don't talk to me. I gotta find Potsy. And then she said, just like that, I went straight back and went right back to sleep.
That's, we were at the beach back in October.
Yeah.
And Maddie's gonna start laughing as soon as she hears this. It was like, so I was sleep talking to her in my sleep. And I kept calling her Meredith, who is my sister's name. And I just kept doing it. And she didn't realize I was sleep talking. I didn't know I was talking.
Oh gosh.
And when I finally woke up, she was just mad at me. And I did not know why. She was like, whatever, I'm going back to sleep. And I was like, what's happening? And then all I knew is she was upset with me, and I couldn't figure it out.
Dude, 2 weeks ago, I got a text from Devin Accardi saying like, hey, do you want to come over to my house to pick up this dresser? And I was like, what? I didn't know what he was talking about. And so then I asked Christy, I was like, hey, Devin Accardi texted me about a dresser. And she was like, yeah, we're buying a dresser from them. And I was like, what? And she was like, yeah, you Venmo'd him last night. And I was like, wait, when we were watching Mulan? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, I was asleep. And she was like, you Venmo'd him. And I was like, but I fell asleep. Venmo'd.
I got to start texting you for money at like 11 o'clock. Hey man, can I borrow 10 bucks?
I literally, like, Christy did the transaction with Aaron and then told me to Venmo Devin. And so I went back into my Venmo history, and sure enough, I had Venmo'd Devin, and it just said dresser, which I usually do like emojis or something like that in my Venmo transactions. And so I was like, oh, this is bad. Exactly. This is the thing. Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast, and Thomas is in a state of shock.
What have you invested in at this point? Like, what is going on?
That's how, I not only sleep talk, but I apparently also sleep by.
There's probably some type of parental control on Venmo that you need to set. Like, after 10 p.m., you may not Venmo.
It needs to ask me, like, trivia questions or something like that.
Are you awake? Are your eyes currently open?
Which Beatle sang the song Glass Onion?
Oh, I had Nowhere Man stuck in my head all morning.
Oh, nice.
I was in the shower just singing it.
La, 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 la.
Nowhere Man.
We're going to talk about some scriptures on this show. And can I kick us off?
Yeah.
Do you know where you're going with this? We didn't even talk about it.
Of course.
Of Corms.
Of Corms.
Shout out to Matthew Ruiz. I'm gonna flip over to Psalm 4.
Psalm 4.
Here we go. Wait, that's. Come on. There we go. Oh, no. I found this really cool thing in Psalm 4, and I think it's, whenever I go through the Psalms again, I think this verse always grabs my attention because of a Sandra McCracken song, probably.
Probably.
And
she's been on this podcast.
She has been on this podcast. I don't know if she listens to this podcast. But check out verse 6. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. Sometimes when you read this, like in a different version, it'll say like, you have filled my heart with more joy than when their grain and new wine abound. Or it'll also say, you have filled me with more joy than harvest time and the new wine. And like, I wish I kind of knew more about old school agrarian societies, but it's always... it is a fascinating thing to me that like that people were able to keep things for a long time that were perishable. Like they had, you know, like they would salt meat and can things. Obviously these guys didn't have, you know, glass where they would like, you know, can vegetables and fruits and jams and stuff like that. But like but they were brilliant and they had ways of like keeping food throughout the year. And for old school agrarian societies, like harvest time was the time that like, that was their biggest party of the year. Mm-hmm. And they would have these crazy huge parties when the harvest came in because it was basically a guarantee of security. It was like, we're going to make it. We're going to make it through another year. The whole growing season throughout the summer and into the beginning of fall and everything, you're like, I hope, you know, they're praying the rain comes and they're keeping the bugs away and they're keeping animals away from eating the corn that's growing or the wheat that's growing or barley or whatever it is. And then like when everything is like fully ripe and ready, then you harvest it. And then like you have these containers filled with grain and filled with corn and filled with whatever it is, you know, whatever they were growing. And, you know, it's like some of it you're drying and some of it you're milling and some of it you're eating. And they would just have these huge blowout parties. And the whole heart of the party was, we did it. Like the food came in, we're going to make it. It was just a sign of security. And then like, and then contrary wise, like when they would get the wine, it's like at the end of the growing season, which there's a couple of really cool, I think you've watched them, a couple of really cool documentaries on Netflix at a certain point about like different like French vineyards and what a year and their kind of process is, just the different like planting and growing and pruning and then then harvesting and then making the wine and everything. And it's such a cool process. And they just, it's like they're hanging on tenterhooks the whole year. Like, is it going to work? Is it going to happen? Will there be a blight? Will there be a hailstorm? Will there, you know, it's like a hailstorm can just knock out the leaves, which is like, you think about like those, when you drive by those places that have like fields of solar panels, it's like, that's what leaves are basically. Like they're like nature's solar panels that are like sucking up the sun's energy to grow things. And I've never thought about that before.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but like, you know, it's like, are we going to make it? And then it's like, and then they have this bumper crop of grapes and they make the wine. And it's like, again, in an old school society, it's like wine was necessary because you didn't know how clean like the water was. But also it was like, wine was about joy. Wine was about partying. And like the scriptures attest to that, you know, that the scriptures say that he gives you wine to like, to gladden the heart of man. And I love this, just this construction in Psalm 4 of like, you have given me more joy. Like the psalmist is saying like, turn your face to me. And when you do, like you give me more joy than harvest and the new wine. And of course we don't have, we just don't live in a society like that. Like you can go buy a loaf of bread any day of the year. Like even on Christmas Day or New Year's Day, you can go to Kroger's. Kroger's is open. And which I found out on New Year's Day, because I worked that day, that like Walmart and Food City were not open early, only Kroger. It's like, you can go to Kroger and get bread anytime. We just don't think about harvest and you can buy, you know, if you can, if you're old enough, if you want to, like you can buy a bottle of wine anywhere, any day. But like, so we don't think about it that way, but when you, if you reduce them down to the things of like security and fun, and it's like joy, it's like just that when the Lord turns his face to you, he gives you something that like material security can't. He gives you something money can't. He gives you something a savings account can't. He gives you something a party can't. He gives you something that like even hanging out with your best friends, playing the best music and just like playing a game or something like that. He gives you something that all those other things can't. And I have had moments where I have felt that overwhelm me to a point of like, you know, to a point of like tears and worship and like, oh, you like, you can't plan it. It just rushes over you like a wave. But I think the thing that I'm looking for right now is to tap into like a steady stream of that, like really believing it. Tom talked about, you know, taking the good news and combining it with faith, like really believing it for myself. And that's the thing that I'm trying to do of like, I want to believe in such a way that like just the Lord and his presence with me it gives me more than security can give me. It gives me more than like a savings account or a paycheck. It gives me more than like a party or even like hanging out with my friends. Like it gives me a depth of joy that security and fun can't.
Yeah, we don't practice this at all anymore. You know, like even prayers when you like sit down with your family to like thank the Lord for the food, like most homes, at least my home as a child, when we did that, it was always the same one. Like, thank you for this food. Bless it to the nourishment of our body and our bodies to thy service. Our bodies. Yeah.
Like, I was about to, it was like you started speeding out because I was about to finish.
Yeah. Like it's just the thing. Like we don't even, that's not even a thought. Like that prayer is a ritual at this point. It's not a thought. There's no like,
which like when the dinner is like, when you punt, when you draw back and punt and you have like three Papa John's pizzas sitting on the counter, like praying that the Lord bless it to the nourishment of your bodies is a bit of a stretch.
There's like, we have Austin White will say like, forgive us our sins. That's like what he says when you're about to pray.
Dude, that killed me. The very first time I heard him do that.
Yeah,
absolutely. And the way he ended it was we bowed our heads to pray and he said, Lord, forgive us for our sins. And then he goes, amen. And then he looked at me, he goes, he gets it.
He gets it. That's right. But there's like, we don't ask the question, who will bring us prosperity anymore? That's not a thing, especially right. In the society that we live in. Like in America, there's not a who will bring us prosperity. It's I will go make myself prosperous at all costs.
That's
I will
right.
do whatever it takes to become prosperous. I will do whatever it takes to make what I need, what I want, way more than I want and way more than I need. And it's, I don't know. It's so interesting. Like I almost said I miss the agrarian society like I've lived in one before, because I never have.
The only people that we know that could make it in an agrarian society are like Tina Job and Andrew Morgan.
For sure. Absolutely. But there is a thing though, if you've ever grown food in any way, that when it happens, it's just like, it's like the coolest thing, you know, like, and for me, it's, I've grown grapevines basically. In right. Tennessee.
We've grown herbs.
Yeah.
And it's very cool.
It's so cool to plant something small and to tend it and water it and to trim it and to prune it and all those things. And then when you get something off of it, it's like, oh my gosh.
I drove by your old muscadines the other day and I was super sad.
Yeah.
Cause they were just, they're derelict.
Little, yeah. They're a little wild right now. They need to be pruned, but you know,
but it is exciting as you're saying.
It's something, there's something crazy that happens when it happens, when you're like, oh my gosh. Like you do, like I remember the first time I ate fruit off of those, which came quicker than I thought it was going to be. And it was like, it was the best tasting thing I'd ever tasted.
Right.
Which is, it sounds dramatic. And usually I am about food. Like everything I eat, I say that. But there was something about like, it could have been terrible. They could have been raisins and I would have eaten them and just been like, I just remember being so grateful that something I stuck in the ground and watered turned into food. And there was just a part of me that was like, I was extremely thankful to the Lord that that happened. It was super cool. And we don't get that anymore. Like, do you remember in the movie Interstellar? Like the whole process of it, like it's all happening because there's a corn blight.
Right.
Like if that happened in America, it would be a disaster.
Yes.
Everything, because like the amount of corn that grows in this country and goes to everything we do, whether it's feeding the other food that we kill and eat or like making the sugar for everything else of all the food that we eat, you know, it's just a thing. Like
Halloween, all the high fructose corn syrup that goes into the candy,
the abundance of food in this country is like, you could take a walk to McDonald's and find enough money on the way to buy yourself food from there. And you wouldn't think about it. You know, there's like, you would pass enough quarters and nickels on the street to like, okay, I'm going to be able to buy a cheeseburger.
Yeah,
exactly. Like it would happen. This is funny because it's kind of hidden. I've written this episode of The Water Tower, which is another podcast that we have. And it all started from this YouTube video I found of these black crested macaques. You know what those are?
No.
It's a type of monkey.
Oh.
Yeah, and they like, it's from a BBC documentary about monsoons. And there's like a 4-minute YouTube video, and the the actor who's narrating it says this thing. It's like, these monkeys, which I'm giving away my entire episode right now. But
spoilers.
Basically, the whole concept of it, these monkeys are the most affectionate and loving monkeys there are in the world, which is funny to me. It's just like, to some scientists, we are monkeys. And it's claiming wild animals are more affectionate than us, which I was like, that's kind of sad. We should be a little bit more affectionate than monkeys, but maybe not. I don't know. But
yeah, I've got some people for them to meet.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But it did show these monkeys hugging and like holding hands and like high fiving. It's like, it was like basically the concept was like, they never fight because there is so much food here that they just share it with each other. They don't fight over the food. Yep. And because of the rain, he said there's 100 varieties of fruit right here where they live. Mm. They share, they give, and they just like, they hug each other and they play. That's what they do.
Yeah.
And it said they spend their time caring about things in this world that matter, like friendships and exploring. That's what he said. And I was like, okay, I don't know if that's true. But that's unbelievable. You know, like, I was just like, that concept, because it said the abundance of food provided from the rain that falls here. And I was like,
that's cool.
Those are cool words.
Yeah.
And we don't do that.
Yeah.
We are just like selfish and stingy, and we never think twice about where our food came from. And I'm like, I'm at the bare basics of what this could possibly mean. You know, like I'm literally talking about their grain and new wine, and we don't ever, we don't often have joy from the fact that we are eating food. It's just that we have 3 meals a day.
Yeah.
And like, honestly, the bare basics of this, I can think and just say like, there are plenty of people in the world who don't. And that's a conversation that happens a lot secularly and probably not enough in Christian societies, of like, we are thriving in this country, and like, we don't think twice about it.
Yeah. And just there's a, like, as you're saying, that with the thing with harvest and the new wine, that joy is a joy of relief. I think because there's a tension of like, are we going to make it? Are we going to have enough? And of course we don't get that because we always have enough, but like the tension gives rise to this relief, which overflows into a party. And this psalm, what it's saying is, what I have from the Lord, I get more than that. I just have so, like, he just gives me so much that I don't have to have the tension. And so the relief is not a dramatic thing. I just rest in like peace and fullness. And it's like, that's the thing I'm looking for, like, this year is like, I want that peace and fullness that comes from, like, I mean, there is a relief, there is a tension and relief from the fact that, like, I don't deserve this relationship and I have it. And that is some tension and relief. But like, I want to tap into that more of like, Lord, turn your face to me and give me more joy than people back in the day would have at harvest, which is like, whoa. Just like, we made it, we're going to make it. And it's like, because of what Jesus has done, it's this, whew, I made it and I don't have to worry about it. And, we're good. And I love the idea of like letting that sink way down deep inside me.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. I'm going to be in John chapter 3.
Okay.
I think I'm going to start in verse 27.
Okay. I'm almost there.
Okay. I'll let you get there. The book of John, chapter 3, verse 27. Okay, I'm going to read it right now. It says, to this John replied, a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. I just think that's cool and encouraging. You know, like, the thing that got me is the friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. Like, there's a, like, the word, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't really know what bridegroom is.
It's just a groom.
It's okay. That's what I thought, but yeah, I wasn't sure. And
it's
like,
it's the boy at a wedding.
Yeah, but we don't say that anymore.
Yeah, we just say groom.
Yeah, we say the groom.
Yeah,
and bride. So when they say bride groom, I'm like, is this a person I don't know about? Like, am I missing out?
there's an extra person in old school weddings.
Yeah, honestly, like, I've just been like, okay.
Is there a
sweet bride groom?
A role I didn't know.
Yes, but the idea of being full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice is so cool. Like, I think joy is the thing in 2021 I'm going to try to not take for granted anymore.
Yeah.
And act like because you kind of, sometimes you just kind of have to work for it a little bit, and you have to try to find it, because it's not always, you know, yeah. Like, it's really easy for me to phone it in when I wake up on the day and I just don't feel great and I don't have it. You know, I'm just like, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to be at work today. And then I'm going to check out, and then I'm going to get home and I'm going to be a little bit grumpy because my day was not awesome, you know, or whatever the thing is. And I'm trying to make the decision this year that, like, that's not going to be me. I'm going to fight for every ounce of it. And there's just something about the idea of being full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. And there's a big part of me this year that is just deciding, like, I'm going to search for the Lord's voice throughout my day. I'm going to search for it. I'm going to look for moments where his fingerprints are on things. And I'm just going to take them as like, okay, there he is. Like, there he is. Okay. Let's be full of joy. Let's do it. Because he's everywhere. He's everywhere throughout my life. Like, whether it's walking to my mailbox or driving 30 minutes to work or sitting at a desk. And there's this like great cutscene in a SpongeBob episode, and I don't remember the context of it, but it shows,
that's surprising.
Yeah, I really don't. I don't remember the episode or anything, but it shows this fish who, like, AKA a man who, like, just lives an ordinary life with, like, straight lines, you know, like that emoji. And it, like, shows him at his desk with a headset on, shows him sitting in traffic and, like, car horns honking, shows him, like, closing the blinds of his house before he goes to bed. And then he does it all over again. And I was just like, I don't want that to be me this year.
Right.
I'm tired of it. I'm tired of just settling for that. Like, when there are tangible moments every day, every second, every breath where, like, Jesus is, like, whispering and tiptoeing around, and he is all throughout my day. He is, like, interwoven into it. And there's something cool too. Like, I love the friend who attends the bridegroom, waits and listens for him. I don't really know what that means. I don't really know what the friend who attends,
it's groomsman.
Yeah. But I remember getting
a
letter from you the morning of my wedding, and, like, it sits in the sun visor of my truck, and every once in a while it'll just fall out when I'm driving, and I'll stop and I'll read it. And it was so joyful. Mm. You know, your letter that you wrote to me.
It was a joyful day, man.
I'll never forget, like, the day of Jeffrey's wedding and how happy I was just to be there, like, and to watch my friend get married, and, like, all my friends. I've been a groomsman in a lot of weddings, and it's so fun. And it's so happy to watch that man that you have, like, been buddies with and, like, gone through hard stuff with, and just to watch them, like, carefree and just so light and so joyful. And there's something about that. That joy is so fun. It's so fun to be a groomsman, because you have, like, you don't have a ton of responsibilities besides, like, I'm not going to pass out. Ooh. I'm going to wear a suit and I'm just going to have fun with my boy.
Right.
You know, like, there's something about that. And, like, and then when you see, like, I'll never forget Sam Bingham's wedding. I've never seen that man nervous in any way. Mm-hmm. He's always just been unflappable. Mm. And that day I'll never forget just, like, watching him, like, with this giant smile on his face, pace around, and, like, it was so fun. And I don't know. I don't have, like, a completed thought on this yet, but there is something about, there's that joy that I just feel like I'm searching for this year.
I'm glad that you don't have a completed thought. I'm glad that it's like a shotgun of different images and stuff like that. I have, when you were talking, I had so many thoughts in my head. One of them was, I'll probably, like, I officiate a lot of weddings or have done. And so like I get to stand up there next to the groom and, the most recent one that like, that's like burned into my mind is Jake Livengood's face when Nina was coming down the aisle. And like, I was ready for it because Jake is his emotions are right at the surface.
Yeah.
He's and so like
the quickest cry.
Yeah. He's the quickest cry. He's a quick laugh. Like nobody gets more angry at a UT football game. Like he just has, he has lots of highs.
Yeah.
And like he, just watching his face when his bride was coming down the aisle to, and they were going to lay their lives down for each other. It was just like, it was so, so, so sweet. And like, I remember Tyler Roberts, I remember showing up at the Standard and, going down into the little room downstairs where all the, where the groomsmen are with the groom and Brian Bozeman tying everybody's bow ties and like, just like having an image in my mind of like, just these friends and like when we just praying over them and like just the heart of like guys that just, it's like, I love you. This is the happiest day of your life and your joy makes me joyful. And I have so many memories like that, like standing in that field at the Pearsons with you, as you received your bride. It's like, gosh, it's just, there's just so many sweet things when you love somebody and they are, you know, and so like to share in that and like what John is saying is like, basically he's talking about like the idea of being territorial about ministry stuff. Cause people are like, hey, you used to baptize all these people and now Jesus is baptizing. So doesn't that make you upset? You know, it used to be the man and now somebody else is the man. And he's like, no, he's like ministry. That's God's business. He gives people their ministry. It doesn't come from personality. It doesn't come from giftedness. It doesn't come from brilliant strategy. It comes from heaven. Like ministry comes from heaven, period. It's a work of the Spirit. And I got to do what I got to do. Somebody else gets to do what they get to do. The groom is Jesus. The bride is all of y'all. When he receives you, it's the same as a groom receiving his bride every single time. And I love rejoicing in that. And like, just to think like when Jesus has me, it's that same joy. I'm almost getting overwhelmed thinking about it. When he, like to think that like you're listening for his whisper today, that gives him the same joy that you had when Maddie was coming down the aisle. It gives him the same joy as like Jake when Nina was coming down the aisle. You know, I can still see like 19 and a half years ago, like the mist off the ground at the Museum of Appalachia and Christy like coming down the aisle. Like the people that were there know that like that, I mean, that woman has the biggest smile, but like her smile was her whole face. It was her whole face. And like to think that Jesus feels that way about us. And like, I could lean into that today, lean into his joy over having me and like, listen for that whisper. Like, oh, that is awesome. Dang. That's so sweet, dude. So sweet.
I liked this episode.
Yeah. We started out talking about Muppets, I think. Yeah, but just that there's a whisper today and to lean into it. And the whisper wants me to be happy.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
I hope y'all look for it.
Yeah. Let's look for it today.
Let's
all stack hands and look for it.
Yeah. We love y'all. Thanks for listening to our show.
Yeah. This has been Ancient and New.
Goodbye. Well, there come a day when I'm good enough to sit down with God and simply be loved. When I can relax and not be afraid and just be myself, the kid that he made. Be
say, except you say to me. There was a point to me being born, when I can know I'm no accident, that I've been designed by a God with a plan. There must be fantasy, except you say to me.